Welcome back to Atlanta. Great to have you with us as Penn State gets ready for the Peach Bowl. Players have the rest of the day off today. They practice this morning at 10 o'clock over at the Dome. Everything's indoors the rest of the week. No more outdoor practices. They'll go in for a walkthrough tomorrow and then inside the Dome, and then Fast Friday will be inside the Dome. Ole Miss gets the practice this afternoon. They're in there at 2 o'clock this afternoon. So that's what's going on down here. Now, of course, down here, the Atlanta Braves are really important. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory, all with great warranties, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee, and a terrific service department, whether it's routine or difficult, they handle it all. At Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf online, sunburymotors.com. I mentioned the Atlanta Braves, so let's talk some baseball now with Bob Nightingale from USA Today. And happy holidays, Bob, to you and your great family. Welcome back.
Yeah, you too. Thanks, Steve.
Okay, so for some odd reason, we'll start with Shohei Ohtani. And the deferred money, how important is that as to how it's structured, not just for him, but also for the Dodgers?
Well, for the Dodgers, instead of paying, you know, $70 million a year in taxes, it's only come down to $46 million a year. So it saves him $24 million because of the deferred. And for Ohtani, you know, it's kind of like a stroke of genius, really, because he's only making $2 million a year for 10 years. So when his deferred starts kicking in 10 years, you know, he'll probably move outside of California. So he's going to save himself 14% in taxes, or at least be greatly reduced from wherever he moves to.
And I don't think people realize this, in part because of a lot of deals that he has in Japan and so forth. I mean, his outside endorsement money is about $45 million a year, or at least in that neighborhood, I believe.
Yeah, you're right. He made 40 last year. If I go up at his agency says it'll probably go up $10 million. So you're talking about a guy making $15 million a year off the field. I mean, no one comes close to that. Number two in baseball is Mike Trout at $5 million. I don't think anybody, I don't care if it's Jeter or whoever, I don't think anybody ever made more than $10 million a year off the field. You just don't get those kind of endorsement monies for baseball.
Right, no, this is LeBron. Pro golf, Mickelson and Woods made all that money off the golf course. This is equivalent to that. Okay, so now with the Soto move to the Yankees and the Ohtani move to the Dodgers, how do you now view the current landscape of baseball?
Well, I mean, Dodgers still need pitching. I mean, J.D. Martinez, he was fine for them last year. I mean, he wasn't hitting, you know, 44 home runs, but he was still a solid DH. They need pitching badly. I mean, that's what killed them in the playoffs and down the stretch. So, yeah, they're going to be hard after Yamamoto. If they don't get him, you'll probably Blake Snell, maybe trade for Dylan Cease. But they got to come up with at least two starters. I think he goes to New York with the Yankees or the Mets. I'm not going to rule out the Dodgers, but just, you know, he wants the bright lights. He wants all the star power. It's kind of the opposite of Ohtani. He wants that attention.
So let's talk about Yamamoto. What makes Yamamoto a special pitcher, and how high can the bidding go for him?
Well, just the fact he's 25 years old, you know, won their version of, you know, of two Cy Youngs. Granted, you know, competition over there isn't like it is, you know, over here. I think there's only about 8 or 10, you know, really major league quality top of hitters over there. So, but yeah, the people love the age factor. That's the big thing. I think the biddings can go over 300, Steve. I was told you know, you're not going to get in under 300. The thing originally, people thought 200, but it's gotten sky high. There's no pitching available, and to have this guy that young is a big coup for whoever gets him.
Soto goes to the Yankees. What did you feel about? How did you feel about the return San Diego got for him?
I thought the Padres did very well. Agreed. For the return. I mean, you know, it's like maybe, you know, 70 cents on the dollar compared to what they got, you know, gave up to get him originally from Washington. So I like the return a lot. They had no choice but to, you know, but to deal him. They have to get their payroll down. And for the Yankees, you know, they need a left-handed bat. I think the big thing for the Yankees, they got to get him to swing the bat. You know, he takes way too many walks. You know, too many times he's caught, you know, looking at a called third strike. So I think the big thing for him is, drive in some runs, hit some home runs, you know, take advantage of that short porch.
Right, exactly. Aaron Nola, the Phillies didn't make a lot of big moves, but they re-signed Nola. What did it mean that they were able to keep a homegrown kid?
Yeah, you know, they were kind of ambivalent for a while whether they're going to keep him. I mean, during the spring training, he went over $200 million. They said no. Season ended. He's still talking about that. And they were prepared to go hard after Yamamoto. That was their second choice. And then he kind of made it, you know what, I'll drop my price tag. I really want to play here. And I think the fact that he kept emphasizing to ownership in the front office how badly he wanted to play in Philly, they said, you know what, okay, let's make it happen. So, you know, both sides did that compromise. That's a fair contract.
Yeah. Okay. Now, I want to talk to you about something I talk to with my broadcasting class all the time. I teach one each semester at Penn State. And I tell them the same thing over and over again. I'd rather have you be second and right than first and wrong. Was the Ohtani situation, without getting into names, was the Ohtani situation a good example of that?
Yeah, I mean, it was embarrassing to the profession, to tell you the truth. I mean, to be that, you know, that wrong, too many people were wrong. And on a name that big, you've got to be ultra careful. Yeah, I remember when they, during the week, I think Tuesday or Wednesday, found out that, hey, the Dodgers called Joe Kelly on vacation in Hawaii and said, hey, will you change your number for Ohtani? And I said, that's interesting. I mean, to me, that means Ohtani's going there. I didn't write that it's going there. I just said, it may mean everything, may mean nothing, but here's what happened. You know, just kind of stick to the facts. In the case on Friday, you know, I wake up and someone had reported that a decision was imminent. So you check with his agency. No, the decision is not imminent. And then next thing you know, he's on a flight to Toronto. Private plane's leaving at 9 in the morning. Well, he sold his pajamas in Orange County, so he's not on that flight. And then, you know, early afternoon, some reports he's signed with the Blue Jays. You know, quickly the agency says, no decision's been made. Yeah, later on in the afternoon, you know, another report is, the plane's about to land. You know, let's see when it gets off. People are, you know, watching this thing in real time. And finally, they say, you know, he's not, you know, he never board a flight. He's not in Toronto. This stuff is just wrong. But yeah, it was, for baseball writers, it was a very embarrassing day.
How long in reality has it taken for you to gain the trust of sources? And what happens? I know it's not you personally, but what happens in the profession when people skirt and start throwing stuff out there when legitimate guys such as yourself have worked so hard to cultivate the right people?
Well, when you're wrong like this, you lose all credibility. You know, there's a fan site in L.A. You know, no matter what they do, they could break the next 20 stories. They'll give me reminded this, like the Aaron Judge thing a year ago. You know, people still bring that up with Aaron Judge, Arson Judge, and all that. And so, you got to be very careful. I mean, it just takes time, to develop sources and to trust them. And you got to make sure, too, that, okay, just because this guy says it, you know, unless he's the owner of the team or the GM of the team, you know, you better make sure he's 100% right. You better double-check that, too. And I think too often our profession, you know, that the agents are, you know, running everything. Probably 95% of these stories are broken by agents or leaked by agents. And you got to make sure these agents aren't using guys, too.
Well, in fact, I think the last time I had you on, we talked about the Scott Boras press conference. Because, let's face it, that's where a lot of news is made if he's out there talking about it, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's got a lot of the prime guys and, you know, the bottom line, too, with the way it's structured these days, a team isn't legally allowed to say they're not in it. And so, I mean, I made a point in my column on Sunday. You know, I could have said the Kansas City Royals are the number one suitor for Ohtani, and they won't be outbid, even though it's 100% wrong. Legally, the Royals cannot come out and publicly deny it. That's just part of the collective bargaining agreement. Like, you're allowed to say you're in a player. You can't say you're out of a player. You can't say what you offered, that sort of thing.
Yeah. But again, that's what I tell my class all the time. I said, I want you to be second. I'd rather have you be second and right than first and wrong, because we're in a hot take world. Hot takes. Well,
yeah. Yeah. It's like I heard, you know, he signed with the Dodgers on that Saturday. It's like, well, let me double check here. Let me double check with the agency. I'm not going to be wrong. So, you know, everybody had the same thing in a matter of, 30 seconds, 60 seconds. But you just can't take that chance.
What did you think about the moves the Atlanta Braves made?
Well, I love the moves that, you know, they always make. I'd be interested to see what else they do. They were in on Nola. They would love to have him. They had interest in Sonny Gray, too. I think they're going to be big on Dylan Cease, you know, make a run for him.
Yeah.
But they grab guys, and guys love playing there so much. It's easy to get them, easy to get those guys to sign extensions.
So I'm down in Orlando doing Penn State basketball, and turned out Dave O'Brien, who does the Red Sox, was there, and I said, so Dave, what do you think of Breslow so far? And he looks at me and he says, geez, Steve, I don't know. He says, we're kind of waiting to see what move he's going to make. What kind of moves can he make in Boston right now, and does he have the freedom from ownership to do it?
Well, that's a big thing. I mean, Dave Dombrowski, you know, made his moves and won a World Series. He's fired the next fall because they don't like his farm system. Well, how do you get, you know, how do you get great players by trading guys from the farm system? You know, and then the last guy, Chaim Bloom, he's not spending money. He traded away Mookie Betts. You know, he didn't want to trade away Mookie Betts. Yeah, should have gotten more back, sure. But he didn't want to trade Betts. And same thing here. I mean, I don't think there's any way in the world Yamamoto's going to Boston Red Sox. You know, he wants the bright lights. They're ways away, I think, from, you know, being that power again. I think they're going to kind of operate like the Mets are. Yeah, the Mets are in Yamamoto, but they're not doing anything stupid. They're kind of building for the future. That's why I kind of wonder what's going to go on with Pete Alonso. You know, if they were going to sign him, they would have signed him already. So I get the feeling that, you know, quietly, he's certainly available in trades, maybe not now, but maybe this summer.
We saw the money, obviously, Ohtani got. That's a separate issue. How do you feel they are financially now in baseball, 2 years removed from the collective bargaining agreement? Do these things usually settle down monetarily, or do you see continued increases?
No, it's usually right afterwards. It's huge.
Yep.
Everybody's throwing money around. Then it kind of slowly fades as it gets closer to the CBA expiration. So, no, I think it slows down. You know, we'll see. I mean, obviously, Bellinger's asking about $250 million. I don't see him getting that. You know, the Blake Snell is going to try to piggyback off Yamamoto, who's going to get over $300. You know, he's not going to get Yamamoto money. But, yeah, for a few cases like this, guys will make out. But you watch, there's going to be some guys, you know, left standing around when spring training rolls around, and they outprice themselves and going to have to take whatever's there.
What's more interesting to you, covering the season or covering the off-season?
Well, I like the season better. I mean, off-season, you know, like we talked about, there's so many rumors and stuff like that. And, you know, Ohtani was interesting. I actually appreciate the way it was handled, where there's no leaks, nothing like that. Nobody was lying about things. Just very quiet. So, but there's not too many, you know, guys like Ohtani, you know, Judge a year ago, where you kind of get excited about. So, I like the regular season. I mean, to me, in the times of the year, the most fun time of year by far to me is the playoffs. I love the postseason, knowing every game means everything. Second's probably spring training, just a relaxed time. New guys show up. Everybody goes to camp where the new guys are. Everybody's got filled with optimism. And then the regular season is probably third. You know, you don't get really excited, you know, really until September, you know, the pennant race, just because it's such a long, long year. Now, you know, last year, you know, there really wasn't that one compelling story. You know, Ohtani for a while, but it wasn't like Judge of 2 years ago going for the American League home run record or something like that.
You see, I'm still always about the games. You know, now part of it is not looking at what I do because I broadcast Penn State football and Penn State basketball. And, yes, I do minor league baseball in the summer as well. To me, it's always about the games. And then the stories are nice beyond it. But see, that's how I, that's, you know, everybody's wired differently. That's just me. I just rather the games.
Yeah, it's fun just to say, you know, I mean, when you talk to managers, they say their favorite time of favorite time of day is just, you know, the first pitch. Yeah. You know, all the rest they could have as far as meeting the media, taking care of business, headaches. But just, you know, during the game, everybody can just focus simply on that. There's not another distraction out there.
Bob, always a pleasure. Thanks so much. Appreciate the perspective on a wide variety of topics today. And really appreciate you.
Sure, my pleasure. Have a happy holiday, Steve.
Happy holidays, Bob.
Bob Nightingale, USA Today. Bill Bender coming up in the next half hour from Sporting News. Today's show brought to you by our great friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee and a great service department that backs it all up every step of the way, routine to difficult. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.